morning. We'll call the Water and Environment Committee to order. First bill we're going to hear, and the only bill, is House Bill 2314, and we have Representative Lowell here to testify. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair.
Excuse me, I'm going to have the staff person read the report first.
House Bill 2314 requires domestic water supply districts to provide notice of termination to residents or non-resident owners on affected premises at least 72 hours before terminating their water service if there's been non-payment for water charges, and requires the district to accept reasonable partial payment for unpaid water charges in lieu of termination of service, and requires that the water district restore the service within 24 hours after receiving full or partial payment. And this act only applies to charges for water supplied after January 1, 2002.
Good morning, Madam Chair and honored colleagues. I am so thrilled to be able to appear in front of you on Oregon's birthday and Valentine's Day. So I have resolved today to let everything that I do be done for the honor of Oregon and out of love. Although Burton in the back of the room is probably going to take exception to me. If you will look at my testimony and flip it over to the flip side, you will see a couple of Oregon statutes. One of them, 264.314, is the law that's offensive to me right now. They can shut off water. I direct your attention, though, to the statute 757.750 through 760. That chapter, or that section, is entitled Health Endangering Termination of Residential Utility Services. That statutory scheme protects ordinary citizens' residents from capricious and arbitrary shutoff of an essential service without proper notice, and if you make a good faith effort to bring your payments up to par or to get into some sort of a payment scheme, they have to turn an essential service back on, such as heat or electricity. These are life-threatening and life-endangering services if they're cut off, and I think water is too. All this bill does is require that water districts must give people proper and reasonable notices before water can be shut off. And if the water shut off and you make amends, that your service has to be restored quickly. Going further in my testimony, the law requires this for electricity and gas, and it should be required for water. If your water service has been cut off and you're there on the weekend and you need water to make your baby's formula, or to clean your baby up, or to provide some sort of comfort for an elder in your household, or even to put out a cooking fire. Well, the way I cook. If you need water and the water's shut off, and you've tried to pay your bill or make amends with the company, or you've paid your bill and they just don't feel like turning it on until the next business day, that's wrong. That is wrong, and that endangers every Oregonian. And I think that we're entitled to actual notice, important that the water is going to be shut off. And if we don't have this service, not only could it possibly burn down your house, but all the houses in your village and the forest adjacent there too.
Sure.
So I'm asking that you consider this bill and give this to the state of Oregon for its birthday and for Valentine's Day so everybody can have water.
Representative Morgan. Representative Lowell, is this bill brought forward in response to a constituent issue? And if you've already addressed this, I apologize for being late.
This bill is brought forward in response to a constituent issue. Constituent I'm very intimately acquainted with, and it involves our beach house, my husband. Okay, here's what happened, you know. We were out of town for a month, and I'll back up. We have a beach house in Southwest Lincoln Water District. We've had this beach house in the family since 1966. Always paid our bills on time, never any problem. 24 years. of paying the water bill on time. Went out of town for a month on some business. We're conducting some business in New Mexico, I think. And when we came back, my husband did all the bills and paid the bill. And then the following weekend, we went to the beach house to see what was going on with it because we hadn't checked it for a while. There was a shut-off notice that had been tacked to the door. And we went in, and the water was shut off. So I said, John, didn't you pay the water bill? And he said, yes, I did. I paid the water bill. I think it was a month late, but I paid the water bill. And he called the Southwest Water Board and asked them to turn the water on. There was a guy there manning the office that day. And there was no way on this planet that he was going to come out and turn the water on a weekend. Now, we were grossly inconvenienced. I can live with that. And we just got back in the car and drove back to the valley. But had I had my grandchildren there or my elderly grandmother, not only would we have been inconvenienced, it would have been a life-threatening situation. And the way I cook, had I started dinner before I noticed the water was shut off, I would have had to go to the ocean and get a bucket of water to put out a fire in my kitchen. I've had several. And by that time, the whole village would have burned down, and so would have the Siuslaw Forest. And that's not right. That's not right. So when we went back home, we discovered that the shut-off noticed date that was printed in little tiny print on the bill that came late was after we had sent the payment, and the payment had been received by Southwest Lincoln Water District. Now, they had the money in hand when they told us to go jump in the lake. And that's not right. And that should never happen to a single Oregonian. That should not happen. And water is essential. You cannot live without water. You can't have a safe and wholesome environment in your home without water. So I'm asking you to put this, to make the amendment to ORS 64314, and perhaps also insert into 757, 750 through 760, the addition of water, the recognition of water as an essential service. And it doesn't matter how big or small the supplier of water is so critical to life that it should never, ever be denied to any Oregonian who has made a good faith effort to meet their payment obligation. It should never be denied.
Madam Chair, may I have a follow-up?
Ms. Morgan.
Did you discuss with the Water District what their policy is for shutting people off for non-payment?
Apparently on the telephone, my constituent did the day he called, and he was told, we don't have to turn it on. We're not going to turn it on. There's nothing you can do or say that will get me to come out here and turn it on. You're going to have to wait till Monday.
But their process for notification is that they put a notice on the patrons' doors?
Yes, and this doesn't do you a heck of a lot of good if it's a rental property. You're not there.
But would it be safe to assume that if a person actually lived in the house full time, that they would get the notice?
That's correct.
But as soon as it became available to them, and they would be able to deal with the situation.
That, Madam Chair, got the formalities. Excuse me, Representative. That is true if you happen to be living in there on a day-to-day basis. But if you are absent from the home for a period of time, that's not adequate notice. And you come back to it.
Do you live here full time in the summer, or live at your summer house full time in the summer, or is it always a part time residence?
It's owned by my husband and his siblings, so there's always somebody there, usually in the summer. But this took place in October, I think. You see, so, and we're back and forth.
So would it be reasonable then to assume that the patrons of the district that lived in their houses full-time would be receiving adequate notice with the process being the way that it currently is?
I don't think so, because oftentimes you are absent from your home for a period of time, and the actual residents, the voting residents there, I would think that 90% of the time maybe, but what about anybody else? And the other question that comes to my mind following this line of questioning is, why should one group of Oregonians be treated differently from any other? Why should an owner of rental property be entitled to less notice than somebody that's a full-time resident in the community?
Representative Lowe,
thank you.
Do you know in rule, you know, 264.314 doesn't say what rules were adopted. Do you know what the rule is for notification?
I do.
Water show?
I do not know.
Does it,
I think it may vary. Yeah.
Mail.
My guess is that it varies from water district to water district, and that it's a local thing there.
And second question, can you tell me on section 1?
So standardization might be a very good idea, Madam Chair, for the whole state. That way everybody knows what the rules are, and all Oregonians receive equal treatment regardless of their status as an owner or renter or whatever.
Thank you. Second question, on section 1B, could you address the accepting reasonable partial payment issue?
1B.
Oops. Yeah.
You're
if we were to put this into statute. Yeah. Well, just the idea of not paying the entire bill, but paying the bill partially.
I lifted that language, Madam Chair, directly out of the statutory scheme in 757-760. That is what that's about. I wanted to have complete continuity and congruity with the water as an essential service with the other essential services that are outlined in Oregon statute.
I
appreciate very much the opportunity to present.
We have another question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wolf, I think I've heard in your testimony some reference previously to 757-760, and that this be somehow incorporated into 757-760. Am I wrong in
the bill
what I heard?
Thank you, Madam Chairman, Representative Jensen. The bill that's before you, 2314, simply requests that 264.314 be amended to include this scheme and these provisions. And these provisions are completely congruous with 757-750. Yes. If the committee likes this concept, I would be willing to entertain a friendly amendment that would include include water as one of the essential services in the statutory scheme of 757-750. But I think also that since much of the water code is embodied in 264.314, Ledge Council must have presume that this would be the logical place to set things forth so that there would be no surprises to any entity.
May I follow on that? If one were to, if the body were to adopt your House Bill 2314, would it, I mean, for matter of consistency again, it seems to me that it would be important to have an amendment to include water in the essential services. Otherwise, one would have to be familiar with just this specific portion and might refer to essential services and not. Am I incorrect or am I wrong?
Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, I quite agree with you. I think that it should be embodied both places.
Thank you.
And if the committee directs me to do so, I'm more than happy to have Ledge Council do it the way I...
point of clarification, Madam Chair. I don't think the relating clause allows you to do that.
Yeah, I was noticing that as well, Representative Cruz. Yeah. You have one relating clause, so it would need some work.
It would need an additional bill, perhaps. You're right, Madam Chair, Representative Cruz. That could be done.
It could.
Thank you.
After the 26th.
I have one priority bill. I'm willing to spend it on this if necessary.
Well, thank you so much for your presentation. It's very interesting, and the whole idea of second homes, I think, is something that isn't anticipated in the statute, so it's good that we talk about it.
Well, if I may, Madam Chair, I'm not bringing this particularly because I was inconvenienced in a second home. I'm bringing this because I think all Oregonians need protection from capricious behavior by water districts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next witness will be John Killen and Jason Green. They're with the special districts. Welcome.
Yeah. I'll start off, and Jason can add comments. Chair Close, members of the committee, my name is John Killen. I am appearing before you in opposition to 2314. On behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. As this bill only applies to water districts versus cities that provide water, I want you to understand who these districts are. There are 300 water districts in Oregon. They range from very small with handfuls of hookups, I mean literally 8 hookups, with a couple volunteers running the show, clear up to systems that provide water for hundreds of thousands of people. They're very large, sophisticated operations in those cases, but otherwise they're very small. The one thing they all have in common is elected boards of commissioners, and these boards are responsible for setting local policies that are consistent with the specific district's needs, abilities, and finances. We oppose this bill because we think policies should be left to those local boards at the local level where they can decide what's best for their community. In addition, Special Districts opposes 2314 for a few more specific reasons. In Section 1, Subsection 2B, you mentioned the reasonable partial payment already. Reasonable partial payment is left undefined, and we have some troubles with this. Local districts already work with customers on payment plans and other ways of taking care of this when they get left behind. But with reasonable partial payment left undefined as it is, it would $1 or $5 on a $100 bill be sufficient? Would that be partial payment? Payment issues should be left up to the local boards to decide what is best for their community, what's appropriate for them. Section 1, subsection 2A, describes a manner reasonably calculated to contact the owner at least 72 hours before water shut off. This is another undefined phrase that demands, that mandates action. Most districts do send several notices, starting weeks before the shutoff, and even some even actually get on the phone and call the ratepayer to let them know that, you know, the bill is due. Again, this is a policy that should be set and handled at the local board level to decide how much time is enough and how many notices they can afford to send. Finally, Section 1, Subsection 3, says that a district shall, upon receiving partial payment, turn the water back on within 24 hours. If the partial payment is received late on a Friday afternoon, districts could be forced to pay time and a half or more to get that water back on. And this isn't a big deal in most districts. Most times there's volunteers or there's a weekend crew for the larger districts. But in some cases, and be they rare, this would be a very large deal. For those with limited budgets, it could be a very large burden. The local board should be able to decide how to service the customers best in the best way they can afford. That concludes my testimony. I would be happy to answer questions.
Hey, Mona Sanderson.
Yes. Do you know what the South Lincoln Water District's policy is?
Chair Close, Representative Mona Sanderson, I haven't had an opportunity to talk with the Southwest Lincoln District. I do have a list of their names and phone numbers, the actual board, and I was planning on calling them very soon to find out just what's going on.
I think that would be important information to know, and then we can actually see what they have and then if they actually implement it.
Could you provide that to the to our city staff at your Representative Morgan?
No.
No, who's first?
Thank you. I think your testimony on water districts is really to the point. And in the legislative district that I represent, it is covered by a large number of urban and rural residential and rural water districts that basically operate on a shoestring. And it's not uncommon that the board of directors of the water district make up a preponderance of the people that are served by the district. And I really hesitate to support this bill, knowing the makeup of the districts in my rural legislative district and the impact that it would have on them in terms of putting a regulatory and reporting burden on them that isn't going to appreciably increase the level of service. I mean, what I'm very much in tune with the comments that you made, that it isn't uncommon for the members of the board, or if the water system has a full-time staff, for those people to be working with the people that are having problems paying their bills to keep the water delivery service to them. And I'm sure that there are shutoffs that do occur, and I'm sure they occur for a wide variety of reasons. But to take the local flexibility away from districts, I don't think has a real upside to it and has a very clear downside.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm probably approaching this a little bit differently here, but it strikes me that the fundamental issue, other than a constituent that has been somewhat seriously or not so seriously, depending on how we look at it, inconvenience, that the fundamental issue is the issue of health. In fact, we have a fairly substantial body of law relating to those services that are health-related sort of services that provide for some protection of the people. Would you agree with that?
Chair Close, Representative Jensen. Yes, there is a substantial body of law. The Health Department overlooks, the State Health Department overlooks all the locals. And yes, there is substantial reporting already in many ways.
So, when we look at some of your specific objections in relationship to the bill, you talk about, you know, reasonable partial payment, and it's my understanding that this is the wording that appears in statute in relationship to other utilities, sort of thing. Why would it be so much more difficult for water districts to determine reasonable partial payment than it would be for an electric or a gas company to determine reasonable partial payment?
Yeah, I'm not really prepared to respond to that fully at this point.
Chair Close, Representative Jensen. There's a variety of reasons, and it does sound like a reasonable thing. One of them, and I didn't mention it in my testimony, and forgive me if this sounds a bit confusing, but there are many districts that are joined, water districts and sanitary districts, your sewer districts. And when you owe a considerable amount to both of those districts, the separation of billing becomes very difficult in partial payment. If you owed $100 to total and $50 to a sewer, well, the sewer can't shut you off, but the water can. So do you just give the money to the water and the sewer never gets paid? So there are a variety of issues like that that come up. As well, we simply want to leave this to the local level. This is why we have local boards elected to make these decisions.
May I follow?
Thank
you. I do appreciate very much the local issue, and I would want to guard and protect that. However, if we go back to the really basic underlying issue, or at least a point that the sponsor of the bill has made about a health issue, it is the responsibility of the state, I think, to provide for the health protection of the citizens. And then with that also, you say that most districts do send several. I don't think there'd be any question on our part. Probably most, when we wrote the laws for other utilities, probably most of those did send several. But I noted that you didn't specifically say all do send several.
Chair Close, Representative Jensen, there are a lot of districts. Some of them, as I mentioned, are very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to send a notice instead of going to their neighbor's house and knocking on their door occasionally wouldn't be appropriate. And I was hesitant to speak for such a wide variety of circumstances.
Yes, I understand that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Hess.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The statute now says the termination of residential electric and natural gas utility service can lead to serious impairment of human health. Do you think would it be accurate to say the termination of water service could lead to the serious impairment of human health?
Chair Close, Representative Haas, the termination of water service would certainly cause problems with human health.
Okay. Follow up.
Then,
if you believe that, and I agree with Representative Lowe that in some situations, emergencies, this could be a health problem with the parents with children or frail Oregonians. And if you oppose this legislation, then what is your answer to this issue?
Chair Close, Representative Haas, my solution is that the local boards set policy that are appropriate for their local districts. In this specific circumstance, we don't know yet what those policies were. I wish I had those in front of me right now. And it may be simply a case of, and I hesitate to say this, but poor management in this case. And if that is the case, legislation's not going to fix that.
Mr. Schillen, I have a question. Would you, and this puts you on the spot, but do you think that your group would be willing to add to 264.314 just a notation that written or some type of notification is required?
Chair Close, I think that would probably be reasonable.
Representative King, do you have a question?
I respect wanting to acknowledge the fact that there are small districts and that you want to rely on local boards. But I think part of our responsibility is when you have local boards that don't honor the confidence, but then they ask for regulation just like this. And that when people are in business, they're responsible for providing service in the business. And this isn't just selling a product. This is a necessary product. So I think people need to decide whether they're seriously in this business and they're going to meet the public needs, or they need to choose a different business or find someone different that will provide this service and do it in a serious manner. So I find requiring notice, given what has occurred, completely in order.
Representative Morgan.
Madam Chair, perhaps it would be valuable for this discussion if we could get some examples of shut-off policies of water districts introduced into the discussion. Mm-hmm. And this isn't an area that's foreign at all to individual water districts. It's something that's routinely dealt with, and I would be very surprised if water districts didn't have a policy already in place that covered this. And I think that it would be instructive to the committee to be able to review a sample of these policies.
Representative Morgan, we have asked that the Southwest Lincoln Water District policy specifically be presented to the committee, and they've agreed to do that. And maybe if you can do so, provide a sampling.
Chair Close, I'd be happy to provide a sampling.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you. I think what we'll do, committee, is keep working on it. So I think that that we should make changes that would make it acceptable to both sides. So Representative Lowe can work with these gentlemen. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for your kind consideration.
With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2314. Is there anything else for the good of the committee? Hearing none, we are
Hey, I like this committee.
I can take you.